All right. When Jan called me and asked if I was willing to do, or actually when she sent me an email and asked if I was willing to preach on the last week before Pastors Tim and Audrey arrive, I kind of said yes before I thought about it. I tend to do that. And I figured, well, something would come to me as time went on. And for a little bit, there was kind of nothing. And then I thought back, okay, all right, well, all right, so I'm preparing, and I thought, okay, well, we can talk about John the Baptist, and that's kind of heretical. They're not Christ. I'm certainly not John the Baptist. Let's set the bar a little lower than that. And then I thought, okay, well, what did we do before Pastor Ken arrived? And I remembered that Pastor Randy got up and talked, and he gave a lot of do's and don'ts with a new pastor. Over there, and I thought about that, and I thought that was all very useful stuff and everything. But we've done that, and I think most of the people here remember it, or most of it's common sense anyway. A lot of it has to do with kind of be nice, be realistic. Any issues which we have in this church are not going to magically go away because we have new pastors. The pews are not suddenly going to fill with eager young faces just because they're here. Any problems that we have, we need to work out ourselves. They can help, but they're still ours. We need to be understanding of time and of family needs. Now, it's a little different experience for us. It's been a while since we had co-pastors. In fact, before my time was the last time we had co-pastors. In addition, they are not each full-time. They are each going to be doing three-quarters time, which will be an adjustment to us in the way of thinking. There could be, there are times when we might expect to get one particular one of them, when that one won't be working, and we need to be understanding of that because we're not paying them for full-time each. But we overall, we're actually getting more than we had before. We have an extra half pastor. No worry about. I'm not sure how you get a half pastor, but it's a. We also have to understand their family situation. Anybody who knows them a little bit and has spent a little bit of time with them or has perused their Facebook page realizes that they've got a new number one priority in their life. Her name's Anita, and she's cute as a button. And that's going to take a lot of their time. And we need to understand that. Well, I say, we probably know all of that. And we don't need the refresher. So I was still stuck with what am I going to talk about. So I reached out to Tim and Audrey, and I asked what they would like me to talk about. I asked what would make it easier for you, what way would help prepare the way. And they said that they had a very thoughtful response. But the one thing that they said that struck me the most, they said the thing that would help them the most was for us to be present and willing. They promised that they would be, but they want that same commitment from us. And my first thought when I read that was, well, that's easy enough. I'm sure most of us would say, of course, if a new pastor asked us if we were going to be present and willing. We all want things to go well, and I'm sure we all have hopes. But then I started to think, which is a dangerous thing, what does it mean to really be present and willing in the context of God's will? I thought about it some more, and I looked up some biblical passages on the internet, and suddenly it didn't look quite so simple. And it didn't look quite so easy. So let's take a closer look at what being present and willing really means as it applies to us. We all know that the simple meaning of being present is and seems simple to apply to the church. It means just coming to being here in community with others to worship and serve. We're here. All of you who are here. That always struck me as ironic whenever a pastor preached about being present to the people who were present. They weren't the people who needed to have that message. Anything. But is that all that it means? Just being physically present? Perhaps it means more than just having our body in a pew. Perhaps it means also having our mind and our soul present as well. That's a little tougher. I don't mean to belittle the act of mere physical presence. It's important, perhaps a prerequisite for complete presence. I haven't yet worked out the way to make my mind and my soul travel to someplace my body is not. Woody Allen once said that 70% of success in life is just showing up. And I can't argue with him. When you show up for people, it makes a difference to them. When you show up for church, it makes a difference to all of us, not least those people standing in the front and trying to teach and lead. I remember my daughter Grace had a particular friend in high school who was not her closest friend, was not the one that she loves, but she had a gift for showing up, even when no one else did. And for that, I'll always be thankful to her. So being physically present is a great start, but it's not enough. Then I went back and I thought back to my childhood when I was going to church in Pittsburgh. We had a guy named Henry who sat in our church, and he always sat right up front, second row, right in front of the pastor, smiling up at him through the whole service. And Henry and his family were there every week. They were tremendously faithful. You know, and they could be counted on. My family sat about over where the Strongs are sitting today and everything. So I could always see, you know, what Henry and his family were and what they were doing. And as I got a little older, I noticed something about Henry. So when they would start the sermon, Henry wore a hearing aid. And the pastor would start preaching his sermon, and Henry would reach up and turn it off. And then sit and smile at pastor the whole rest of the sermon without hearing a word he said. Henry was physically present, but he wasn't really present. Our text in Matthew talks about a different sort of presence, one that transcends the physical. It talks about really being present in the moment, putting our other cares in the hands of God and opening ourselves to be really here, mind, body, and soul. No thinking about what it is waiting for you at work or school on Monday. Not wondering when you will have time to get all the things done, your to-do list done. Not thinking about where you are going to eat lunch after church. Not devoting our minds to the myriad things going on in each and every one of our lives. Giving that time to God and to each other, to be in community and to worship and learn. I confess that I struggle with this myself. I mean well. I always start trying to listen closely to the sermon, but then usually something is said that will strike me and my mind will head off on a tangent to follow that thought. And the next thing I know, I hear music, and I realize I've missed the last 5 minutes of whatever the pastor was saying. I need to work on my presence, obviously. Being present is more than just a physical thing, and it's more than just on Sunday. It means being focused. It means being at peace. It means being thankful. It means being prayerful. It means being loving, and it means being faithful. No, being present isn't easy when you think of it in these terms, but that is the commitment we need. I think that's the commitment that Audrey and Tim were talking about when they emailed me. I think that is the commitment that they're looking for from us. Well, if it turns out that being present isn't simple or easy, I dread to think what being willing means. Most of us like to think we are willing to help and to do God's work. I look around this church and I see many, many people who regularly give of their time and treasure in his service, who do marvelous things that we all benefit from. The scripture from Exodus talks about that kind of willingness in the service of the Lord. Did you notice, however, that it repeatedly uses a particular phrasing? All who were willing. That certainly implies that some of the Israelites were not willing and did not participate. I can hear the excuses now. Well, I'd love to, but you know, my back's a little sore. Maybe next time? Oh, I wish I could, but I have a conflicting appointment with my donkey cart repairman. I'm sorry, but my gifts just lie in another area. Or that's just a bad time for me. I can hear these excuses so clearly because I've used them, or variations of them, myself on many occasions. Sure, I can tell myself that I do a lot of things for the church, but I also know that mostly I do what I want to do, or what comes easily to me, when I want to do it, rather than what needs doing, when it needs doing. And I can forgive myself for some of the excuses because there is validity to them. Some conflicts can't be avoided. We are not all gifted in all areas of service. My back is really sore sometimes. And my knee and my elbow and my shoulder. This getting older thing kind of stinks. But I also know that sometimes they're just hollow excuses. I could use a bit more willingness if I expect to be listed among all who are willing. Being willing is also about more than just willingness to do the work of the church. It's also about being willing to listen and learn. Being willing to take chances and embrace change. Being willing to trust and love each other. Being willing to forgive each other and ask forgiveness. Being willing to care for each other and to accept care. Being willing to be honest and put ourselves out there for our brothers and sisters to see, flaws and all. Being willing to be part of a real community, one that loves and cares for each other, that matters to each and every one of us 24/7, not just on Sunday. So we stand on the precipice of a new beginning at Oakton. Our new pastors have made a commitment to us that they will be present and willing with everything that means. Will we make that same commitment to them and to each other?